This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
All right, we do have Brian Broaddus joining us right now here on the KNC Masterpiece. What's up, Broaddus?
I was just listening to the draft show while you guys called. So I was working on tape and listening to Jeff Cavanaugh and David Hellman and those guys do some fine work on their show as well.
Nice. Jeff Cavanaugh. You guys did the Trust the Tape podcast as well yesterday, and that is out. We're always excited to listen to that thing right now, too. Now, Brian, you don't watch the Super Bowl, right?
You know, I used to not watch the Super Bowl. And now, though, that and it's funny that you remember that because there was last year was one of the first times that I did. I got invited to go, and I usually don't like to sit in a room and watch it with people because and it's funny that I find myself sitting in the rooms where ladies know more about the game than the men sitting in the room, which is hilarious, you know. And then you always have guys that I want to tell you about shell coverage and, you know, why they need to play their front this way and all that. You know, you kind of get into a point where you're like going, you really know what you're talking about here.
Have you ever found somebody, though, that you're like, man, you do know what you're talking about?
it's funny because there's a lot of people that I really like to do this. It's when they bring friends over that I don't know. That's where. But no, I mean, I'll tell you what, there are a lot of female friends that I have that I watch games with that know more than a lot of the guy friends I have. Seriously. They actually sit down, they have an understanding of the players, the scheme, you know, they study why, you know, San Francisco will play their front a certain way, whether they read or watch the games or whatever. But you know, it's kind of hard because when you're somebody that I did this for a living for so long, if people try and impress you with what they know. You know, I was watching the wrestling program, you know, Gavin.
Royal
Gavin
Rumble,
I watched Royal Rumble. I'd never watched one of those in my life. I went over to Gavin's house, and you know, Troy and Roy were nice enough to explain to me what was going on. You know, I mean, really, I mean, I didn't act like that I knew who Roman Reigns was and all that. I didn't act like I didn't know who these guys were. You know, and I think that's what happens when, you know, but if you know something, if people ask you questions about it and you can explain and help them enjoy it a little bit more, yeah, I'll watch the Royal Rumble again. I thought that was fascinating stuff. I love the storylines, you know, Brock Lesnar. I mean, he's throwing guys out right and left, you know. I mean, that was a lot of fun. But, yeah, I just find myself when I go to watch events or watch games with people, they're always trying to prove how much they know. And I think that's something that, you know, I think we all kind of need to learn that, you know, sit down, enjoy the event for what it is, you know, and you know, we all don't have to be experts in everything.
Okay, well, this is your chance to show us what an expert you are specifically on this game. I'm curious what your thoughts are as far as the breakdown of this game goes and who you think the advantage goes to.
Well, I think it's a fascinating game because you're looking at a situation where, to me, you know, the San Francisco 49ers have done a great job of making sure that their front is one of the best in the league. The way that their defensive line, I mean, the way they've built their team, you know, through the draft, you know, they're built to attack you. They're built to put pressure on you. They're built to affect the way that you play in these games. And you know, I think it starts for them up there. You know, I mean, they are very good on offense. Don't get me wrong about that. You know, they've got some very talented people. They've got some talented wide receivers. You know, their quarterback is capable. But I think it really starts with their defense. And, you know, the thing I'm going to be looking at in this game, and I think it's very much what we used to see back when the Giants were playing the Patriots. And early in those games, if Tom Brady's jersey had grass stains on the back, then you knew that maybe New England was in a little bit of trouble. And I'm going to be interested to see how many hits that they're able to get on Mahomes. Are they going to be able to affect him? Are they going to be able to play enough zone coverage in this game to affect how he plays? I mean, you play man-to-man against the Chiefs, you know, you're dealing with trouble. And but how much zone coverage can Robert Saleh play in this game? And can his front affect the way that Mahomes? And again, Kansas City's got incredible weapons. Andy Reid is a brilliant play caller. You know, as a game manager, people will say that he's a little bit of a buffoon doing that. But you know, and this is a big game to be not to be a buffoon in. You know what I'm saying? You, this one gets magnified if you do make those tactical mistakes. But I feel like that San Francisco is a team that's equipped to play against Kansas City and affect the way they play because of their front and their linebackers can cover. Their down linemen get after you. They don't have to bring extra pressure. And, you know, their safeties and corners are good enough to hold up. So, you know, Kansas City has got to be ready for that. But on the flip side of that, Kansas City's defense is much improved. You know, if you look at what Steve Spagnuolo has done, he's come in. You know, Bob Sutton used to be the defensive coordinator there. They were a team that kind of gave up a lot of plays, big plays. Steve Spagnuolo doesn't allow that to happen. So I'm going to be fascinated to see which defense can step up. I have a feeling that San Francisco's will. And San Francisco can run the football, too. They could shorten this game if they have to. You know, they're one of these teams that has that ability. Even though Kansas City did a really nice job of limiting Tennessee's running game, I think San Francisco does it a little bit differently, though, with the play-action stuff, you know, with their offensive line. Their tight ends block really well at the point of attack. They got one of the best play callers in the league. So I think it's going to be a wonderful game. From a standpoint of, okay, which unit is going to stand up against the other one and impose their will as this game wears on?
Yeah, and Broadus, I know you love your favorite position to scout is the offensive line, and the Chiefs have a solid one. So that fight right there, that battle right there, is going to be an absolute blast.
No question. And that's going to be the fun thing about this game to me is that can Kansas City block that front? And, you know, but you've got one of the best quarterbacks in the league when it comes to mobility, buying second chances in the pocket, though. But can the Chiefs hold up? If they hold up, that kid can make plays. There's no question about that.
I had a really good question, Kevin.
Oh, do you want me to stall for time and ask him another question?
My answer so long that it messed you up.
No, I looked at something else and then got distracted. I screwed that one up. All right,
Get your damn act together, Corey.
Mike McCarthy, like one of the things about his regular season versus playoffs is like his regular season, they're like pedal to the metal, let's go, let's do this. But then he gets in the playoffs and gets conservative. Is that something that Andy Reid like does? Does he get conservative or does he just mess up things while he's doing stuff with his clock? And would you rather see teams just say, no, we're going to go all out instead of, because last year it was a conservative Super Bowl.
Yep.
With teams that were unable to do what they typically did during the regular season. And that's the kind of game I want to see.
Yeah, I think that you're going to see, you know, to me, if you're going to talk about a team potentially going conservative on you, that would be San Francisco. Because San Francisco, I mean, everybody's getting on San Francisco because they don't throw the football or they haven't thrown the football, you know, but they do a great job of choking you on defense, and then they get the football and then they are able to drive and grind and finish drives, you know, and that's where I think to me that, you know, Andy Reid is going to want to have to put pressure on San Francisco. He's going to want to make San Francisco have to play right along with him, you know, with the scoring. If Andy Reid can run the score up and make, you know, and Kansas City finishes drives and you know, scores, you know, six out of their seven possessions, one of those things. I mean, they're a hard team to deal with when it comes that way. But, I feel like that Andy is going to be aggressive. You know, this is important for Andy. You know, it's important for all these people that are involved with this. You know, I was very fortunate in my life to be a part of one of these and to win it. And, you know, and that's something you carry with you the rest of your life. And I think with Andy, you know, Andy has the experience of winning a Super Bowl in Green Bay as an assistant. But, you know, to win it as a head coach, you know, he's had an opportunity. But, man, it was so long ago, it seems like, that he was in this game. And you know, you look on the flip side of it, you know, Kyle Shanahan, and he was in this game, you know, just a couple years ago as an assistant and, you know, blew a 28-3 lead. You know, so I think the play callers on both sides realize, okay, I'm going to have to speed it up here and really go into attack mode. And the other guy's thinking like, okay, if I build a lead, I'm going to have to preserve this thing because my defense is good enough. So it's really a dynamic of two different guys' attitudes in this game of how they're going to approach the game and how – and the first one to get to their idea is likely going to win this game.
Now, does it bother you at all, since we referenced Andy Reid several times, does it bother you at all some of the perceptions that people have of Andy Reid? Because, I mean, we've talked about playoff Andy Reid, and it feels like he almost needs this win to validate his career. Does that bother you?
Oh, you know, Andy's like a brother to me. He really is. And, if you ask me to pick a game at this game, I'm going to go with San Francisco, you know, even though I do love Andy Reid. And, you know, I feel like, though, to me, that, you know, Andy doesn't need any validation for the type of coach, you know, and I was very fortunate to be with him, like I said, in Green Bay. And then I had the opportunity to recommend him to Joe Banner and to Jeff Lurie. And he went on and had a great career in Philadelphia. And, you know, Joe Banner went on, Albert Breer's podcast and said, hey, you know, Brian brought his hat up. I knew Andy Reid was a great coach. I didn't need anybody. Does it bother me that people say bad things about Andy occasionally? Well, Andy brings it on himself. There's stupid things he does during the game. And, you know, and I think that's something that as a fan, you could see that. You're like, wait a minute, you can't use your time out there. You can't burn another challenge there. You can't, you know, there's things that Andy does during the game that drives you nuts as a fan. And, you know, but it's stuff you see. It's there. So it's not that people are being mean to Andy. They're just being honest about the fact that there's times that he can screw up the game and puts his team in a bad spot.
Now, Broadus, you worked under Ron Wolf, correct?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, he was a little bitter yesterday.
His son, Elliot Wolf,
I babysit him.
Decided to,
old.
To
yeah.
mutually part ways yesterday.
Boxes as with, a little boy, yeah.
With the Browns. And then Ron said this on analytics driven model are out of control.
Sure.
When something goes wrong, who takes responsibility? Their answer, well, that's what the data told us. What a crock. Yeah. That's what got them 1-31.
Yeah, he wanted to say the word BS, and he couldn't. He just didn't do it. This is the problem that you know. And I learned under Ron Wolf, and now I'm 56 years old. And,
yes,
you know, and I don't want to be that guy that's putting my head in the sand. You know, I was brought up by a guy like that believes so much into. Now, we had used a form of analytics when I was in Green Bay. We used to in the 90s. When we were at the combine, we would take numbers, and this is what Ron learned when he was with the Raiders for 25 years with Al Davis, and you know the great teams that they built in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s, and then into the 80s, was about the height, weight, speed guys. So analytics to me, that was our form of analytics of taking guys the three cone. Well, at that time we weren't running the three cone; it was the shuttle is what we were doing, the short shuttle. It was more about the 40-yard dash, and being able to kind of sort them and compare and then, you know, and kind of have an idea as part of it. So we were using analytics. I think where he's disappointed in the fact is that his son got let go of the Cleveland Browns because of what he felt like was analytics guys, you know. And that bothers football guys. You could be an analytics guy and be a football guy. You know, I think there has to be a marriage between the two. It's just some of us are slower to adapt because I believe in really sitting down and watching guys play on tape. If you gave me 8 games to watch of a guy, I could tell you what kind of football player he could be. I really can. Now, I might miss 1 or 2 of them, but I feel like I have a little bit better shot. But, you know, analytics should be used in ways of the measurables. And then also, if you want to use them, I don't understand the stuff how they use them during games. People tell me all the time about, hey, it's 4th-and-3. God, they got to go for it here. Well, no, it should. They punt. They're better defensively. They can play defense. They can pin them back. No, you got to go for it here. Probabilities tell you got to go for it here. I that part of it, I'm like, I don't know, man. I've seen where you punt this ball right now, and it seems to work out better. You get field position, you know. And that's where I think that guys like myself that are old to the game, or old souls in this game, are now trying to have struggles with what's going on in the news side of the game. And, you know, I don't think it has to be totally about analytics, because I think if I could sit down and watch tape like I used to with, with, or, you know, I did with Jeff Kavanaugh and those guys. I think I could teach somebody how to find a really good football player without saying, well, the numbers tell you this, the numbers tell you this. I'll tell you what analytics used to tell us back in the day. We'd have never drafted a 5'9 quarterback number one overall. That's what analytics would have told us, and that happened last year.
So, ooh.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff, Broadus. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry I killed your segment there. I didn't mean to just.
No. You just shut down Corey's brain for half a second. But other than that, you're good.
No, I just feel bad. I mean, I know people out there just driving around going, "What the hell is he talking about?" But I, you know, really, this is just my what my life has been. You know, and I feel bad for Elliot Wolf because Elliot Wolf is a really good football guy that is young enough to understand analytics. His dad is an old scout. You know, who just watched tape, and that's how I learned. And you know, we're all kind of products of our environment and what we learn. So that's my excuse for Ron Wolf.
Well, and you know what though, Broadus, we were all lucky to learn from you. So and learn along with you at the same time, man. And we'll continue to do that in the future, man.
Appreciate that. Who are you guys picking, real quick? I know you got to get up to it. Who are you guys?
Chiefs.
Picking?
Chiefs.
Okay, very good then. Well. We'll see. You guys might be very well right about that. I hope San Francisco's defense shows up. If it does, I think it'll be a pretty good game.
I hope they don't. They lose by 50 points because I hate the 49ers.
You like Andy Reid. We're Andy Reid guys?
Yeah, I mean, I do like
Cowboys
Andy Reid.
Cowboys fan.
But I also hate the 49ers, and the idea of them getting to six is gross.
Plus, they're the Dallas Texans.
We need to get Andy on soda. I know that.
Absolutely.
Andy would be great on soda.
Hey, why don't you just let him win the Super Bowl first, and then we'll deal with the rest of it.
No, I mean, I used to make red beans and rice for him every week, you know, for when we were in Green Bay together. My man could eat a whole pot of red beans and rice by himself. I love the man. I really do. I love the man. I don't think we have to – a victory here doesn't validate him because I think he's already a great coach.
There you go.
Thank you so much,
bye,
good sir.
All right, boys. Take care. Keep on time today. We'll see you.
I mean, I was until the last 2 minutes, Broadus, if you really want to get into it.